Revival Town podcast. I'm Chuck Tate. That's Andy King.
You are looking really good.
You're freaking me out.
I know we're gonna talk about where we went for lunch, but I think the old lady behind us was like, because she saw your hat that you were wearing and started talking to you. Because you're looking good.
She was definitely intrigued by my hat. Obviously, her and her husband are believers.
Yeah.
And then our waitress was like, hey, I think I know you. And she asked me if I was married.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said yes. And then she asked me, oh, is your wife's name, what did she say, Jamie?
Something like that. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And I said, no, my wife's name is Annette. And she's like, oh. And I go, but my girlfriend's name is Jamie. I threw her off. She was not ready for that.
Yeah, yeah.
But no. But anyway, she might come to church. We
That's
had to
cool.
talk a little bit about church
yeah.
and invited her. And the old couple were just happy because somebody who does not look saved was wearing a Jesus Saves hat.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, they must have been turning going, oh, he must be a new Christian.
Oh, right, right. Oh, look at that nice, really nice fellow who must be discipling him. Well, we went to lunch. I took you out for your birthday because yesterday was your 51st birthday. Happy birthday,
mate. Thank you, mate. Yeah, it was nice to... You know, you said, hey, where do you want to go? And, you know, we've got a few places that we go a lot, right? I mean, Chinese is always on the ticket, things like that. But there is and I talked to you about this, it's now called the 50s Diner.
Right.
It used to be called Made Right here in Peoria. But especially for those that are listening from outside of America, just think of the typical 1950s diner that you see on TV, a bit like Happy Days or something like
right,
that.
Right, American, just a American food.
Yeah, and it is that. And so it's one of the first places that someone actually took me. It was the first restaurant that someone took me when I came to America. And I was like, oh, this is Americana.
It would be like if we went to England and you took me for fish and chips,
yeah,
you know, or for an English breakfast,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
So here you're coming to America. We're going to a 50s diner. We're just going to have some good old American. But Made Right is all like ground hamburger.
Yeah,
it's different. And so when you said that today, I was like, ooh.
Now I get a bit upset.
Well, I know the other reason you wanted to go there was because you said to me, I want a Made Right burger and a shake.
Well, it's not just a shake. It's a chocolate malt.
A chocolate malt.
Because you don't, growing up in the UK, you would see that on TV, a chocolate malt.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't get it over there. And when I came to the States, I was like, and I don't know if you remember this from other times being at the 50s diner, you get a glass full, but then you also get like a tin, the tin that they make it in.
Yes, you get both.
You get like two of them. Oh, right. Man, it's good. It's good.
You know
it's
what? Good. Years ago at Steak and Shake, you would get both.
Yeah.
Years ago, you would get that big glass, but they would also put that metal cup next, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Well, let's tell them what happened. There were no shakes today.
No shakes, man.
The machine was broken. AKA McDonald's. Come on.
I mean, it'd be like going to a fish and chip shop and saying there's no fish.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, come on.
Yeah, I know. I went to Five Guys. I'm sorry, we're out of beef. What? So let's talk about today, our show.
Yeah.
You did not know this, but I have been working behind the scenes to bring on a special guest today.
Yeah.
And I know it was your birthday yesterday, and I knew that we had a couple ideas that we had kicked around for today.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I decided to go rogue.
Yeah.
And line up a guest to surprise you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And here's what happened. We're recording this on a Thursday, but when I initially reached out, I told our guest Friday. So today is Thursday.
Yeah.
We get here. I just sent the link on.
You said, don't set up the cameras.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we're going to just do it through Zoom.
Through Zoom. Yeah. Yeah. And don't set up the cameras. We're going through Zoom. I sent the link, and then the response back was, this is for tomorrow, right? And I'm like, panic attack. No. I'm like, no, it's for today, but maybe I said tomorrow. I went back to my first message, and I did. I said Friday, and it just can't work for
today.
This person today. Yeah, so that's out. So what did I say? I'm so sorry. Set up the cameras.
Back to just me and you.
Back to just Andy and Chuck. Dayton is mate.
But, you know, we thought we would do something a little different today. Obviously, for those who listen to the podcast weekly, you know... You okay? What is wrong with you?
Every time you say for those who are listening, because everybody's listening. Oh, no, I know, but you continued. Oh. You didn't stop there. So I know. I give you a hard time about it.
Every week.
I got to stop. This should have been the Andy King
Can
Rose.
We get another co-host, please?
Oh, man. But
no, what we thought we would do, though, you have been on this journey of this new book. And, you know, it's great to hear, oh, he's got a new book coming out, and he's done this, and he's done that, and he's getting paid millions for it.
In made right crumbs.
Yeah. And so, but what I thought we could do, if you're up for it, Chuck, is just talk about some of the real nuts and bolts progress of how to really go about this. Like, we've had people on that have written books, and they say it's all rosy and everything else. But, I mean, we went through some period for you, like, oh, I was up till 2 this morning, 3 this morning writing, and like, it's not an easy process. So I thought we would go through the process. Does that sound okay?
Yeah. And let me just start by saying this. Episode 138, we had my literary agent, Esther Fedorkevich, on. She's actually been on twice. You can go back before that during our first season where we had her on a guest. But this last time that we had her in 2023, she shared 3 things that every publisher looks for. So we won't rehash all that. I will say those 3 things are: you need to be a good writer, you need to have a good concept, you need to have a big platform. And she shared how you can get a book deal with 2 of those 3, but the platform is the hardest. It's hardest to get a book deal. And I was told by somebody else that a publisher is really looking for somebody who has a combined social media following of 55,000 or a significant email list of thousands. All right.
Or a lot of money.
Or, yeah. Or you're a mega church pastor.
Where you can do it yourself.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, if you're going to self-publish. So, what we're going to talk about today is not how to get a contract.
Right.
Today, we're going to talk how do you write the book? Because, you know, she said something that's true. Everybody says they have a book in them. Like 95% of people believe, they really believe they have a book in them. But a very small percentage take the time to put in the work to kick it out. Some people, they just want a book deal. They don't want to write a book. They just want a book deal. Yeah. Some people just want to see their name on Amazon, but they don't want to write the book.
Yeah.
For everybody listening today, if you're a writer and you want to write a book, the only thing that is stopping you is you. You can do it.
Yeah.
And Amazon has made it really easy for anyone to self-publish. And there are tools and resources available to edit your book, to check for grammatical errors. There are so many resources available for book cover design, all the above. It just comes down to, are you willing to write it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No pun intended, right?
Right. Because I think that, like for me, right, we've talked about it many times. Oh, I'd love to write a book. But you're absolutely right. It does take time, right?
It takes a lot of time, and you have to schedule it.
Yeah.
Or it won't happen.
Well, tell us a bit about how you... Okay, so you get the go-ahead, right? Well, before the go-ahead, how are you getting the go-ahead to be able to write the second book? What have you had to do?
Okay, so...
Do you see what I mean?
Yep. Well, one of the things that Esther talked about in episode 138 was, what do you need to do first? The first thing you need to do, if you need to determine, the very first thing you need to do is determine, okay, am I going to try to get a book deal or am I going to self-publish? That's the first question that you need to ask. And if you're going to self-publish, you need to research and determine what route you're going to take. If you're going to go to the traditional route, the very first step is you have to have an agent, because you will write a book proposal, which she covered in that episode, how to go about writing a book proposal. And then once it's approved by your agent, then your agent will shop it to publishers. So for me, my first process was I actually went to Texas, met with Esther, shared my concept. First of all, is, you know, and before I shared the concept, I wrote the proposal.
And again, not everyone can just, you know, waltz up into Esther's office, right? You had that relationship before.
Right.
How hard is that side of things? Getting the right connection for the publicist?
Well, it does take, again, a lot of effort, a lot of work. One of the things that she shared is if you want to go that route and you don't have an agent and you don't know where to begin, what books do you like? What books do you enjoy? Open them up and find out who the agent is. Hmm. So whatever genre you're going to write, whatever authors like you're connected to, like you feel like these are my people, this is my tribe, I am in the, you know, kind of same vein as this group, then you should find out who that agent is. And then you need to find out if they're accepting proposals.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if they are accepting them, then you research and you do your work and you write that proposal.
Yeah.
And I would say this, even if you're self-publishing, I really believe a proposal is a good way to go just because it will help you. Because a proposal is, it is the overall description of the book you're going to write. There is a snapshot. You know, you got the brief description. You have a comparative landscape where you take your book and you compare it with three others.
Yeah.
What's similar? What's different? Not necessarily what's better, but what sets mine, what makes mine unique and original compared to these other three, especially, you know, for me, I love Mark Batterson. He's my favorite author. She's his agent. I was already, you know what I mean? I feel like that's kind of my, you know, so I pay attention to what he does and how he does things. And that inspires me. So that he would be an influencer, just like musicians. You have influencers, you know.
How hard though is it to get the ear of some of those guys? Cause you're talking about, you know, like, for instance, I'm a big John Mark Comer fan, right?
Yeah.
But to try and get to his agent may be pretty tough. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or like a Judah Smith, their guys, obviously they're on a bit of a different plane. Is it hard, though, to get to them?
I think I would say yes. You know, and for me, my pathway, which we won't go through the whole story, but... Sure. I went to a writer's conference, and there are other writer's conferences out there. It would be good to attend one. If you want to go the traditional book route, you want to land a book deal, then you need to kind of go into those places where you have the opportunity to meet those kind of people. And that's really my story. I went to Esther's conference. I sat, I listened to her. I approached her. I was prepared and ready to pitch her. I asked her, can I have 60 seconds? She gave it to me. She remembered that, right? So there is a way to break into that. You just need to ask yourself, what is the best pathway for me? Perhaps you need to self-publish and then take the success of that book and then use that to get the attention somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like a local band. They're going to play out, and build a name for themselves, get some recognition. Then they're more likely to get the attention of an agent.
Yeah.
If they show that agent, hey, we've been out busting it for the last year.
Yeah.
Right? Playing out every weekend, rather than before we even have our first gig, we're trying to get a deal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think when it comes to writers, a lot of people listening right now, you're a writer. And you have a book inside you, the best thing to do is to start writing. Maybe start a blog. Start putting content out there. Start writing and putting it on social media. Start developing a tribe of people that like what you are giving them. And then put together either a proposal and start sending it out, or start writing your manuscript. And the bottom line is, everybody can write a book. You just have to sit down to do it, which I'm going to share some of my strategies.
Yeah.
On.
Are you going to do that now?
Okay. I'm thinking about it.
Because I think some people get lost. Let's just go back about some of the things that you talked about that you need. And some people go, I haven't got a social media presence. I haven't got 50,000 followers, you know, and they quit there. Where I think what you mentioned was pretty good, where you said there could be someone that does a self-published book that creates that bit of buzz around what you write about, and then see the numbers hopefully come up a bit on the social media side of things.
Right.
But do you think, I mean, it sounds like some publishers are just looking at that.
Yeah.
Is do you think that's a bit of a danger for them? Because there could be someone that has an amazing book in them, but they're not giving them a chance.
Yeah, I would say the hardest thing for me in all of this, and now this is going to be my second book, the hardest pill to swallow is the fact that they look at your platform first, and they don't. There are publishers that don't really give you a chance.
Yeah.
And to me, that is disheartening. At the end of the day, to them, it is a business. So it's really up to the author to promote the book, and they know if there's a large following, they're going to sell more copies, and their whole agenda is to sell copies. Our agenda is just to share hope with the world, to put something into the world that we believe is going to help somebody, right? At the end of the day, the publisher, yeah, they're about that, but if it doesn't sell X amount of copies, then they don't get paid.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so it is a business, and that's the harsh reality of it. I would say this, your goal to write should not be to be published. Your goal should not be, I mean, it's okay to have that goal, but what should override that is your goal to help people.
Yeah.
To have one person read that book whose life is inspired or challenged or changed because you were willing to write down those words. At the end of the day, that's really what it's all about.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's, you know, to also expound upon something that you just mentioned. You said, you know, just self-publish and try to get the attention of somebody. And you might be listening today going, yeah, you know, what are the odds of that? Well, listen, The Shack, regardless of what you feel about that book theologically, the novel The Shack was self-published. It was rejected, right?
Yeah.
And it's now one of the best-selling novels of all time. What happened after this person self-published, it did help people, and people loved it, and they shared it. When people love something, they share it, yeah. And it took off all on its own without an agent, without a publisher. And today, you know, now it is published.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you want to write, just write.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't want to, you know, offend anyone that's listening or anything with what I'm about to mention, but and I'm not on about content. I'm on about just the principle of it. But I always think of J.K. Rowling, who wrote Harry Potter.
Right.
She was turned down for years. And, you know, sometimes I think, I wonder how many people are kicking themselves for not taking Harry Potter on.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. It's like all the teams that didn't give Tom Brady a chance. And now he's the greatest quarterback of all time. Yeah. Right. But Tom didn't give up. J.K. Rowling didn't give up. The guy who wrote The Shack didn't give up. Right. You can't give up if you want to write. At the end of the day, you want to write because you love it and you know it's going to help people, and God will take care of the rest. You know, you bring up J.K. Rowling. I'm going to bring somebody else. One of the best books that I read, so this is a great resource, and I might get some pushback for this. One of the best books on writing that I have read is by Stephen King.
Mm.
All right. I'm not into horror. I don't watch horror. I'm not a promoter of horror films.
He's not related to me.
Yeah, right. Andy King's uncle, Stephen. So obviously he's one of the best-selling novelists of all times, and they're all just bizarre, crazy, scary movies.
Yeah.
A lot of them are weird. Some are demonic. But his book on writing was so good. It's
brilliant.
He has
a book out on writing?
He has a book out.
Oh, wow.
That's just about writing. And one of the things that he does every day, I mean, this is important. It's important where you write. It's important how often you write. It's important the surroundings and what he does.
Why is that? Is it because it changes your mindset?
I think so. So for him, what he does, he has a writing room. It's in his basement. And he schedules time. Now, he's a full-time writer. That's how he makes his living. Right. But every single day, he schedules so many hours in the morning, and he will not leave the basement. He will not check his phone. He goes down and he writes. So I'll just say 4 hours every day morning, 4 hours. And you'll just have to read the book for yourself. But I thought that was really interesting, and it did come into play on how I finished my 53,000-word manuscript.
Mm.
Because I started getting up early, going downstairs, not my basement, but in my living room. Everybody else was sleeping. And I would put on worship, put on music, and turn on my fireplace, and no distractions, and just write. I was always the most productive in that setting. Now, I still at times would need to get out of that setting. If I had like writer's block or I felt like I wasn't going anywhere, there were times where I went to the library. I went to the our local library and sat in this little corner, and it's really quiet. I was able to kick out a lot there, different places. In my early years, I would go to Starbucks, go to coffee shop. And there's times where, I write, but I don't usually write a lot from those places because they're loud, they're noisy, there's interruptions. People say, hey, what's going on? You know, I run into people, and it's just, it can end up becoming a distraction. So it's really important to cut out distractions and to schedule it, and to perhaps even set a goal where you're going to write so many words a day and then stick to it and make the time to do it. Now, for me, I work better with deadlines. So once I signed my contract, I was given a deadline, and that forced me to be more present. That forced me to spend more time writing. But that contract came as a result of my proposal, and that proposal took a long time to craft it, all the chapters, and I mean, all of that. So it just comes down to, if you're willing to do the work, you can do it.
Yeah.
You know? And if you're sitting here thinking to yourself right now, and I'm gonna offend a couple people, but if you really believe you have a book inside of you, and the only thing that is holding you back is from you saying, Chuck, I'm too busy, that's not good enough. Because I'm busy. Everybody I know is busy. We are busy. If you schedule it, if it's important to you, you can make it happen. You might have to go to bed at 9 o'clock and get up at 4. But you have time. You're not too busy to write a book. No one is.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on topic? You know, there are some people who write or try to write a book, but they're picking something that they like, not love. But they've seen that like could make a lot more money than what they would really like to write. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The trends, like, I'm going to write a book because this is a trend at the minute.
Right.
Lean into that a little bit about topic, important that is.
I think the potential for your book to fall flat is more likely if you are writing for that reason. I think you need to ask yourself, okay, first of all, what's God want me to write about? All right, we're Christians. We're both ministers.
Yeah.
We're involved in ministry. I want Here's something that was a game changer for me. I read a book. It's How to Write a Nonfiction Bestseller. I can't even remember the author's name, but she said one line in her book that was a game changer for me, and that is this. You don't write a book about something. You write a book to someone.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, yeah.
So if your goal is just to write a book, I'm going to write about something that's trendy. I'm going to write about something that's cool. I'm going to write about something that's popular right now. It's not going to have the impact that it could. But if you write to someone who is struggling with something, if you write to someone who needs the information that you have, if you're writing to someone that needs to learn about the experience that you had, yeah, and how you navigated that experience, you're more likely to connect. What you want to do is, it's like Donald Miller. You want to make, in StoryBrand, we've had Pete Hitzkin. Yeah. You want to make the reader the hero of your story.
Yeah.
You don't want to be the hero.
Right.
You want to make them the hero. You want to encourage them. So in my book, I have something that's called a hook point. All right. And a hook point keeps me focused on what the book is about. My hook point is this. This is my promise to the reader. So everything has to flow through that. So I don't get sidetracked. You know, I'm ADD, right? I haven't been diagnosed, but I'm like, man, I got a million things going. It's, you know, it's hard sometimes for me to stay focused with pastoring and writing and podcasting and all these other things that are happening. So it's really...
It's the main thing, the big idea.
Yeah, it's a big idea.
Yeah.
And at the end of all my chapters, I have something that's called a declaration of hope, and that is for the reader. So I don't want, my goal is not for somebody to read my book and go, oh man, Chuck's awesome. You know what I mean? I want somebody to read my book and go, I believe God can do this in me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm writing to someone. So for me, my next book is a book of hope. So I'm writing to people that are discouraged, those that need a breakthrough, those that feel like quitting, those that feel like get up. That's my tribe, because I'm going to use my life experiences and my stories and scriptures to build them up to say, you're not going to quit. You're not going to give up.
Yeah.
Your breakthrough is going to come. God is going to see you through.
Yeah.
You know, and that will go so much further than me saying, hey, let me just tell you about myself.
Yeah. It's turning the story for someone else rather than telling the story about you.
Right. Now, if I was a celebrity, like Prince Harry, we read his book Spare.
Right.
I want to hear what he's, you know what I mean? That's different.
Yeah.
That's about his life, because he is someone that is known globally. Yeah. You know, he's
an autobiography. It's an autobiography.
Yeah, it's different.
So, yeah, it's different. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever, okay, is it, I know you're going to be like, we didn't talk about that question. In fact, we didn't talk about any questions. But but have you ever thought about doing a novel?
I have thought.
I've thought about it. Let's talk about that.
And truthfully, I definitely read two or three novels a year. I listen to them. I love Joel Rosenberg. Props to... that's a whole different type of style of writing. We're talking about, you know, nonfiction, but when it comes to fiction or writing a novel, I mean, truthfully, I believe that requires even more skill, because you have to be so much more descriptive. You have to keep their attention because you are unpacking a story. You're telling a story. And that is, it is on my bucket list. I do want to write a novel, and I want to write a kid's book.
Oh, kid's book. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Why a kid's book?
Well, I love storytelling.
Because you told me you hate kids.
I thought my kids told you that.
No. They did.
Yeah, no, I love kids, and I've always enjoyed telling stories. Even every year, usually, even at our VBS, I usually, they'll have me ask me to speak one day, and I spoke to 200 middle schoolers yesterday at Puri Christian.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so when it comes to, of course, obviously, those are middle schoolers. We're talking about little kids. When it comes to little kids, I've always enjoyed telling stories. I have the story that I always tell called The Purple Gorilla, and I really wanted to put it into book form, but I found out there's a very similar story out called The Purple Gorilla. Oh. So anyway, so that's out, but I would love to write a kid's book with and have somebody else illustrate it. And just because I remember being a little kid myself and looking through books and, you know, going in my mind to this, you know, and just being sucked into the story.
Yeah. I saw it. I think Carlos Whitaker's just done a teen book. I might be wrong.
Really?
But
okay.
Is it him or his son? I might have just made that whole thing up. Yeah. But no, he has done something.
Yeah, yeah.
I do. I think that takes a bit. You've really got to think differently because you've got to think kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, you mentioned Carlos. I don't know if you remember this, but when you brought him in to speak at Love Peoria a little more than a year ago, you invited me to ride in the vehicle as we took him to the airport.
Yeah.
And so one of the questions I asked him was about his writing process, right? And he used, and I don't have it in front of me, but because I just thought of it just now, but a resource he used there is an app that you could put on your MacBook, and you could probably put it on any laptop, that when you open it, you set a timer on how long you want to write for, and you can't get out of it. It locks you in, so you are stuck, and you have to write.
Oh, yeah.
So I think for somebody like him who's all over the place, that's probably the only way that he could do it.
Yeah, and, you know, we have never shared this, and I'm not going to share it in depth, but he told us about his next book.
Yes, his next two books.
Two books, and also a TV show.
The video, there's going to be videos attached to it, like series. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, I mean, we can't go into it, but when he told us, we're like, that's gold.
That is going to be so good.
Yeah. So I think I started, I saw him do a few posts this last week visiting some of the places he went to that is going to be part of that book.
Oh, I can't wait.
So hopefully he gets that out because, boy, that's going to be incredible.
It's going to be good. And you know, this is what's great about this episode. And by the way, this was your idea. This was not my idea today.
Yeah, you know, you were like, let's talk about me today.
Right. No. What's so cool here, we're talking about Carlos and his ideas. I mean, there's Carlos Whitakers that are listening to this right now. I know there are people listening right now that you have a book inside of you. Sit back and just go, oh, must be lucky to be you. No, I had to work so hard, man. I was stressed out. How many times did I reach out? Dude, pray for me, man. I'm struggling.
Nightly for 4 months or more. But you take Carlos, though. I mean, 5-10 years ago, he was worship leading. He wasn't an author.
Right.
You know, 10 years ago, he was singing songs and no Instagram or anything back then. And it shows how social media, you know, it's really changed his life as far as being an influencer, which then led to the author side of him exploding. Because you talk about it, you know, a platform. I mean, he's got hundreds of thousands of people following him now.
Right.
And the impact, you know, he'll throw a challenge out online and raise $100,000 in an afternoon to bless someone. That's insane power.
It's remarkable. But he works really hard.
Absolutely.
And that's really what it comes down to. And let me say this. We had a guest on here. Her name was Teresa Whiting. She's the author of a book. And she's not on social media. But you know what? She had a passion to write. She believed God called her to write. She had an idea. She enjoyed doing it. She wanted to do it, and she did it. And she went to conferences. Her goal was to go the traditional route. It didn't work out for her. So you know what she did? She still self-published.
Yeah.
She published, and guess what? She's traveling. She's a speaker. She sends emails out, and God is using her because she was willing to do the hard work.
So what you're saying, though, Chuck, is, let's just come back a bit, is to write a book. The biggest thing is to set time to do it.
Yes. That is the only way I believe that it can happen. Because otherwise, it's not a priority. And if it's not a priority, it's not going to happen. And the reality is, at least in my life, if I don't schedule it, it doesn't get done.
Yeah.
If I don't schedule, put things on my calendar, it really, it affects a lot of other people, not just me.
Yeah.
It's so important. So if you will just put it on your calendar, start out maybe one day a week, just an hour, right? 1 hour a week. Everybody has that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Good. Well, there we go. Do you want to pray for people who may be struggling with this at the minute as far as wanting to do a book and, you know, are like, I haven't got time. Do you want to just pray into that?
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. God, thank you so much for everyone listening. Thank you for Andy, the opportunity we have to do this today. We thank you for your grace and your mercy that you've still moved in spite of me messing up what this podcast was supposed to be today. But we believe that you work in all things. Romans 8:28 says that you bring good out of everything for those who love you, been called according to your purpose. So we just pray, Lord, that today perhaps you have the right person listening who desires to write a book. They have it inside of them, and they know they just needed that little nudge to say you can do it. And I just pray that they will take the time to schedule, that you will give them the words, the Holy Spirit, you will write or type through them. So we just thank you in advance for the result of what you're going to do as the result of the faithfulness of those listening today who are ready to put this into practice. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We'll go straight into it, shall we?
All right, let's do it.
All right. So this is Tate and His Mate. And we've heard from people that this is one of their favorite parts, which is crazy, but just a way that we can bring perhaps a bit of laughter and cheer. And this is also a way I can bring some of my English roots into this show. As you can tell, I'm originally from England, and there are a lot of words and phrases that are used in the UK that are not used over here, right? So every week we bring one out of the closet and see if my mate can guess what it is.
All right.
All right. So are you ready?
I'm ready. I think I've only gotten one right this year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, the word is chock-a-block.
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 Chock-a-block, okay.
You want it in context?
Sure.
A lot of people don't write books because their life's a chock-a-block.
Ooh. All right. Mm. When I hear the word chock-a-block, the only thing I can think is that Swiss chocolate that's in like a pyramid-looking long...
Toblerone.
Yes. Chock-a-block.
By the way, I got to tell this story. There's a radio show that I listen to, and they one of their things that they do is they call other radio stations, and when they call, they'll say, "Hi, my name's blah blah blah." You know, say for instance a competition, and you know they call the front desk. Right, when you do a radio show, you don't go straight on. Right, okay. They you go through a. And so they'll call like the reception and say, "Hey, I'm here for the contest." And they're like, "Okay, get ready. You're going to go live." And they've given the name to the DJ, right? And so they're fake names, right? So this radio station is recording as they go on to another radio station.
Oh,
right?
That's brilliant.
And one of them is Toby Lerone.
Toby Lerone.
And so the DJ will come on, "Hey, and we've got Toby Lerone on the..." And there's some others that we cannot mention, but yeah, they do that. Okay, all right.
All right, chock-a-block.
Chock-a-block. Chock-a-block, Chuck.
I'm going to say chock-a-block means scattered. Like you're just too scattered. You're chock-a-block. Let's see. You're not... I'm just unorganized. You're chock-a-block.
Yes and no. I mean, chock-a-block, it means full.
Oh.
You know, my life is full. It's chock-a-block. This room, if it had loads of stuff, it's chock-a-block.
Gotcha.
You know, or a closet is chock-a-block.
Yeah, right.
So I think we give half a point on that.
Because you
were on the right track.
On the right track, but...
You know.
But... My mind was chock-a-block.
Sorry. Yeah,
I couldn't spit out the words right.
So there we go. Chock-a-block. Try and use it this week.
Chock-a-block, Chuck!
Why don't you tell people about how they can connect with us?
So go to RevivalTownPodcast.com, RevivalTownPodcast.com. We are also on YouTube. If you go to the website, though, you can get everything. You can find out where to listen. I mean, we're on every platform that's out there. So
yeah,
we have a merch store. We want to remind you about that. Yeah. So you can check that out as well.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to Revival Town Podcast. This week was a little different, but it was really cool to just hear the insight into writing books.
And we are going to get the guest on. So keep listening, because it's going to be fun. You're gonna love it.
All right. I hate surprises, so you know that, right? Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to Revival Town Podcast today, and we will see you here. You'll hear us next week. Bye.
Can't wait.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Revival Town Podcast. Make sure you're following us on social media and remember to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. For more information, head on over to RevivalTownPodcast.com.